So yesterday I called the police.
Oh no, did you?
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I did it by accident. I was in a meeting and suddenly out of my phone I could hear, "Hello, this is Thames Valley Police."
Oh no.
Well, actually it was out of my watch, and what had happened was there's this thing on Apple Watch. There's a button, side button. If you hold the side button down, it'll call the emergency services.
Will it?
If you hold it down for too long.
Well, you don't want to be doing that.
No, I don't know. I didn't know I did do that. At first, I thought it was like a fall alert, which you can also have. And, you know, I was leaning back on my chair and I thought, oh, this is great. You know, I've finally reached old age. It's now alerting the emergencies. No, but apparently that's what I'd done. But the really funny thing was that I was in a meeting with a person at work who deals with risk and security. And so, clearly, I am that risk
Yeah.
that she is dealing with.
I know I speak on behalf of all the emergency services when I say you're complete and utter.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an emergency service to cover that. Welcome everybody to episode 285 of the Midfaith Crisis podcast.
Not difficult.
It's not difficult, but it's somehow too much. My name is Nick Page, and there is Joe Davis.
Hello.
Hello.
Despairing.
Are you? Oh, okay. Do we have any church notices?
No.
Do we?
No. I mean, if we were organised, we'd be doing sell out conferences around the country, around the world, probably. But no, we have no news. Let's go straight on to how are you? How are you?
Oh, well, I mean, apart from either having had a fall or being held captive by somebody,
that is so
I've
stupid.
Turned that off now. I can't,
of course, you should
anyway.
Have done that ages ago.
Well, I didn't know it did it. You know, this is the thing, tech does this stuff.
Apple.
Well, yeah. Actually, here's an interesting thing. So, Apple produced their new iPads last week, which are very interesting. The new iPad Pro, I don't want to get too tech on you, but it has a faster chip in it than any of the other Mac products. Anything else? Okay. It's just you can't really do much with the iPad Pro. You know, so what's the point of doing that? But also, they produced this advert. Okay. Right? Have you seen about this advert?
No. Not interested. Okay, well, look at my face. I mean, the listeners can't see it, but you can. Even you should realise how dull this is.
Well, there is a point here. They produced this advert for this iPad, you see, and what it had was it had this massive hydraulic press, huge press, and beneath all this press were things like, well, there's pots of paint, and then there was musical instruments, there was an old sort of games console of the kind you'd find, you know, in an arcade or something, and there was all this stuff, and this press comes down, and it crushes everything, you know, it crushes everything beneath it, and then it comes back up again and it reveals this gleaming iPad, and there's a massive backlash to it, because even I looked at it at the time and was thinking, I don't really like this destruction of stuff. And of course people saw it as a perfect metaphor for the way
Apple has done.
Big tech is crushing, you know, analog stuff and old fashioned stuff and sort of saying, oh, no, you only need this, which wasn't what they were trying to do. I think if any tech group has helped the creative industry, it's probably Apple. But, you know, it just shows there's a bit of a backlash there. Anyway, I thought that was very interesting, but clearly I misjudged the audience.
No, it's as dull can be. Thank you. You do realise we get semi-regular complaints saying, I wish they'd just get on with it. I wish you'd just get on with it. We don't want all this stuff. Anyway, tough luck. This is what we're doing.
I think arsing around is the point of this podcast, isn't it?
One chance to get together and have a nice chat.
Anyway, apart from that, I had a busy weekend. Did some bricklaying.
Did you?
I love bricklaying. It's very mindful.
You're so clever.
I put a pump in. You know, we've got this little spring thing at the back of the house. I put a pump in that so you can now
just
pump the water up.
You're making me feel inadequate now. Stop.
I did some landscaping, although admittedly that was my model railway, so it was a little
bit
easier.
You do know Rachel listens to this podcast, don't you? She often says to people, she says, my husband has many gifts, but none of them are any good to me.
No, that's true. I put a loft trap in as well.
Oh,
all this
have
stuff,
you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And also, I have been protecting my gooseberries.
Oh, yes. Me too.
Because men's health is so important, I feel. I've netted them. Last year, we had gooseberries and one day, and the next day, we didn't have gooseberries.
And what had stolen them? Do you know? Magpies, I bet.
It was either birds or Claire. I can't rule either out. And it's very hard to fingerprint a gooseberry bush, I'll be honest. Yes, so fairly busy weekend, yeah. But I'm good. And how are you?
Yeah, okay. Still working boringly hard, hence why I'm still in my suit. But that's okay. And, well, I'm loving this time in the garden, aren't you? Just everything's growing. All the runner beans just suddenly one day decided they'd all shoot out. So they'll be in the ground soon. And this year, you know, I have an arboretum. You know, I love growing trees, some seeds. I've never successfully grown a chestnut tree. They just never germinated. So I stuck the conkers in a fridge for a month.
Oh, talking of men's health.
This time I stuck my conkers in the fridge. And sure enough, they've all germinated. This year.
I'm so happy for you.
Yes, thank you. So, yeah, no, I love it. We got the azaleas out. We've got, it's just, I love the garden. It's great. So that's good. I watched / endured Eurovision.
So I wish to, on behalf of a listener, rebuke you here because I have an email sent to me, not to you.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. And I know people think I don't read emails. I do read emails. I don't reply to many, but I do read them.
Oh, no.
And this email said this. Dear Nick, well, I have to message you and not Joe for this one. You might like to pick up Mr. Davis. So it's Mr. Davis, not even Reverend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mr. Davis on his casual dismissal of Eurovision when we know for a fact that he enjoys it as he interviewed me about it for this very podcast. 2 years ago, got back from Turin. She says, this is from Lisa, of course.
And she says,
as the Midfaith Crisis podcast official Eurovision correspondent, I feel personally attacked by the said Mr. Davis and will be seeking an industrial tribunal hearing ASAP. All in jest, Obs. Thanks for keeping me sane listening to MFC Eurovision this year. Believe me, it was a difficult one to get through. So appreciated moments of being able to switch off.
I did see Lisa's Facebook feed and she was saying she was a bit perturbed that she was being interviewed for sort of BBC News 24 and stuff like that rather than the normal light entertainment because obviously there was all that stuff around the Netherlands person who got disqualified. I mean, it is a bit of fun. I do find the marking a bit tedious. My kids enjoy it. They enjoy that bit, though. They think it's funny.
Well, I just go off and do something else.
Do you?
Bit,
okay. Yeah. I was slightly disappointed that Finland didn't do better, if I'm honest.
Was that the one with the completely nude person?
It was with the very much Austin Powers routine, which I did appreciate, it has to be said.
Yes. Well, anyway, that's it. Just take that rebuke.
No, I do take that rebuke, and please don't take it personally, Lisa. I watched it to the end. Just one last thing. I was particularly upset that I didn't see the Northern Lights, and let's never talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Let's never talk about that. I was fast asleep.
My daughter saw them in Edinburgh.
Oh, everybody saw them except me, I got the feeling.
But I didn't even know it was happening. Nobody told me.
I woke up the next day. I know. So listen, listeners, if you're one of the people that were asleep in bed and missed it all, then, you know, I feel your pain. I would have loved to have seen that. Anyway, it turns out they weren't that great, really. It was just on people's phones. Their phones saw them. Not then. That's what I'm sticking with, yeah.
Yeah, well, isn't that always the way? Unless your phone saw it, it never really happened.
Yeah, I'm not jealous at all. But that was amazing if you did get to see it. Okay, so shall we move on?
Yeah.
So this, John and Lynn wrote in, and just to say, Lynn's partway through reading a book, The Year of Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs. Did we recommend that? They weren't sure. or whether they weren't sure whether it was us or someone else.
I think we might have mentioned it some time back.
I think we have mentioned it. Anyway, it explores the theme of taking the Bible literally, and it's fun. So that's a good book, The Year of Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs. Thank you, John and Lynn. Glenn wrote in and said, love the show. Thank you so much. Here is my pith. He said this. He said, Brian McLaren's wow, I see it differently, is great, but could possibly come across as wow, you're really that stupid, or I'm actually surprised. So he was saying you might want to revise the wow in that. That was Glenn's point. He said maybe worth consider dropping the wow and trying. Okay, thanks for sharing that. I see it quite differently. So, yeah, take your point, Glenn.
What is a sort of good British response? Because, you know, obviously the sort of British way is...
to apologise.
Really, to apologise. I suppose you could say, well, there is that view. That means nothing, does it?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what else you would say, really. Maybe it's the wow. Yeah. Maybe that's the non-British bit. It's just the wow, you know.
Or you could do what you do to me when you don't agree with me and just call me an idiot.
Yes, you see, but I'm not very British like that.
You're very British. You're one of the most British people I know in terms of your reservation of quiets, but not with me, interestingly enough.
No, no. Well, you're my vowel, really.
Is that what it is?
I like to think.
It's an honour. Anyway, Philip wrote in and said, following your recent podcast discussing the Sermon on the Mount and Nick's mention about writing on the Beatitudes, I remembered a blog post I wrote a couple of years ago. Now, he can't link to it because the blog isn't up anymore. But he talked about the Beatitudes, as in B-E, being. Mm-hmm. And look, I quite like these. So he's not done all of them, but he says... I take the words blessing and blessed to mean enabling a transformation for anything into a positive or more positive state. So based on Luke's version of the Beatitudes, I've rewritten a few of them to express a particular viewpoint. So see what you think of these. Be poor in wealth, health, wisdom, strength, mind and faith. Now try to bless others. There is the sacred presence. Be hungry and thirsty. Nothing will truly satisfy, although temporary comfort may come and go. Now try blessing those who are well fed. Be mournful and sad, weeping for the sorrowing and suffering. Now try forgiving the oppressors, the evildoers, the insensitive universe, the randomness of reality. Be loving, kind, forgiving, considerate, generous, patient, and open-hearted. Be in the world, in the pain, in the darkness, in the loneliness, as a presence, a comfort, a light, a companion. Be a blessing. Be thankful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Thanks so much, Philip. Really appreciate you sending those in. Okay, this is from Lisa Lotter from Denmark. Can't remember how Denmark did in Eurovision. Did they make it through the semis?
I don't even know if they made it through. No.
Well, if they didn't make it through, Lisa Lotter, we feel your pain. But she wrote in a wonderful email talking about sin as separation. Do you remember we were talking about that last week, really helpfully? And she wrote in with a great analogy, and it goes like this. A servant running like mad to run errands for her beloved mistress. And in her eagerness, she falls into a ditch and hurts herself badly. In the confusion and pain, she feels so shameful that she can no longer see or sense her mistress's ever-loving gaze. That gaze and that love never changed one iota, but the servant is now separated from the reality of it, concentrating as she does on her own misery. It mirrors beautifully what we have probably all experienced when we trip and fall over, no matter how much we hurt ourselves. Our first reaction is to look around to see if anyone saw us in this humiliating state. So so that's that idea again that, you know, sin is separation. And I thought that was really nice. And then she recommended a book title for that thing. So we'll put that on the show notes. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what we do? Show notes? I suddenly forgot what they were.
Has it been a very long day?
Yeah, it's been an extremely long day. Okay, let's do one more because I want to talk with you, Nick Page, about wisdom. Yeah. But before we do, let's just take this one from Richard. And he says, Dear Joe and Nick, something that you mentioned a couple of times is the demographic of your 17 listeners. That said, I don't think you've revealed what your demographic is, or perhaps you don't know.
I haven't got a clue.
No, he says, I know who four of your listeners are, me and my wife and two of our friends. And so we're all approximately 40. So it says, the age aspect of the demographic particularly interests me. I'm 40, was brought up in a fairly traditional UK Baptist church, we didn't work or spend money on Sundays, etc., and have been going through the mid-faith crisis for approximately 4 or 5 years now. I'm pleased to say that I can see a glimmer of light further down the tunnel in the distance. So he said, I have two main points I'd be interested to provoke discussion on. Firstly, we, speaking for myself, my wife and some of our friends, feel an age divide between us and our parents' generation, now in their 70s. Does that make them boomers? He says they have controlled the institutional church that we grew up in, as well as large parts of the wider church. They voted for Brexit. They have triple lock pensions, largely because not as many younger adults don't choose to vote. The older generation also have a strong political influence. They didn't have to worry about recycling until recently anyway. It's easy to feel that we will be paying financially and ecologically for their choices for generations to come. I'm not really sure what to do about this, but after listening to your recent interview with Brian McLaren, I really do wonder how the human race, let alone the church, will ever make decisions for the future. And then he sent in that quote from Brian McLaren from his book Faith After Doubt, I think it is, saying how he thinks people are reaching perplexity, the perplexity stage, younger and younger. And he says, Brian claims that the mid-faith crisis is starting to happen at a younger age. And I'm inclined to agree. Young adults in the church may well have left the church before they reach an age where they feel able to ask questions and embrace a fresh approach to faith. We have a real desire to reach people on the fringes of faith, the marginalised and the left out. I feel that there is also a need for the message of a more expansive and inclusive gospel to reach younger adults, which, with respect, I suspect form a minority of the demographic of this podcast. If you got this far, I suspect I've bored you enough, but thanks for reading. Don't feel you have to fix it. But if you are able to kickstart the conversation, then that might help us middle-aged listeners find some help for the young adults before it's too late. So there you go. There's a question.
Well, many questions. Look, can I just take the baby boomer thing first?
Yeah.
I suppose as I am, am I a boomer?
Yeah, you are. You are. And I'm Gen X technically, because 65 is the kind of cutoff there on that particular demographic.
1965 as opposed to being 65.
1965, yeah. Yes, quite.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm definitely a boomer then. I don't feel that I had a huge amount of say in the whole thing. I just think, in the words of St. Mike the Mechanic, a great saint, every generation blames the one before.
Mm.
Yes, you know, I think it's true. My father said to me once, he said, I think we were the golden generation.
Yeah.
But he grew up in the war, for heaven's sake.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure, actually, you can put all the stupidity just on the boomers. I think there is more than enough stupidity to go around for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, I was reading about the energy costs of things that we sort of take for granted, or tech, for example. Let's go back to tech, because I know you enjoy talking about that.
Love talking about tech. Please carry
on. Okay. So I read this thing, Bitcoin, which I don't understand at all.
Right.
Bitcoin mining produces more CO2 emissions than the annual emissions of a country like Morocco. It's massive.
Right,
it's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Bitcoin transaction produces more energy than we use in a house in a day, kind of thing.
Good Lord. Is that true? Okay.
It's massive. And if you go, if we go down the route that we seem to be going down with AI, that is accelerating. Global energy costs of that are accelerating by between 26 and 36% annually.
Yeah.
So by a few years' time, they'll be using, AI will use more energy than the country like Iceland, apparently. You know, these weren't choices that the boomers made. I mean, most of us don't understand it. We just we feel happy if we can switch something on.
So there is a generational thing there, with regards
to... all I'm saying is that every generation has its own level of selfishness. And I don't think that actually history shows us that actually... Basically, we all carry on being selfish, and so there's, I think, what can we do about it? Well, all I can do is try not to be that selfish. Try and do something different. Try and live differently. Try and pass on whatever wisdom I've got to the younger generation. Try not to grow old into that person. I want to grow old disgracefully. I don't want to grow old and sort of, you know, become reactionary and hard like that. So I think that's a really good call, that email, because he's right. I think a lot of younger people have a lot of questions. And if we can be open and you know, help them with that, then I think that's probably the most we can do. I don't know how you feel.
Yes. I mean, I think it's true. Our generation and the generation above ours certainly did seem to enjoy certain privileges. But I would say my son's pension is probably already better than mine.
Yes,
working
exactly.
Working for the council. So, you know, the triple lock thing, I get the point. And I think, it's down to our attitude now, surely, that counts. But he is right. The question of faith, I think, is really important. We can't begin to answer that particular aspect now. But I think Christianity, the church, both do have to reinvent themselves. Mm,
absolutely.
You know, Christianity can't be a tribal message. It must be a global message for a world that is pluralist. You know, and I suspect when my parents' generation were growing up, it was easy to think we're right and the others are wrong because the others were in other countries far, far away and we never heard about them. Now they're on our doorstep. Now they're all around us. Now they're our friends and neighbours. We have a pluralist society with many cultures and religions mixed together. So, you know, do we really believe in a God who says, no, only that one's right and all the rest are wrong? So, I mean, there's big questions about that. And in terms of the church, yeah, I think the church has really got to. I was talking to a friend, a funeral. Do you remember a long time ago I told you about a funeral visit I did? And the person was more intent on talking to me about my view on the end times than they were talking about their deceased mother. And I found that quite strange.
Right, okay.
It turns out this person has been regularly going into the funeral director, asking if the funeral director has read the book that she's given to her, because if she doesn't, she's going to hell.
Okay.
And the funeral director has quite a laugh at me about this. But, you know, that kind of brand of Christianity, it seems to me, doesn't have a place in this world anymore. How can that arrogance win out? So I think there's a lot of questions here. I'm very grateful to Richard for sending that in. I think we're going to keep talking about it on the podcast in future episodes. I really do.
Yeah, I think I would just make two points, I suppose, occur to me out of it. One is you cannot possibly show the younger generation of their questions that Richard is talking about, you know, that a different way of operating is possible if you have absented yourself from that.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly right.
Do you know what we've got? This is why we've got to
There's
hang in there.
There's an integrity issue there, isn't there?
You know, we've got to hang in there and we've got to be open and be honest and be available and talk to people and do church with them, actually.
Yeah.
You know, however we do it, whether we do it in the proper way or whether we do it as you do it out in the fields. But, you know, we've got to do that. And the second thing is that, you know, that cliche, be the change you want to see. You've got to live it. You've got to actually figure out what it is you know and how you pass that on. And don't be that kind of person. Don't be that person that you're complaining about.
Well, look, thank you, Richard. We haven't begun to answer that, but we will keep coming back to those kind of questions, that's for sure. But I want to move us on, Nick Page, because somebody recently, and I'm not going to say who, wrote an article on wisdom. Mm. And I suppose the first question is, of all the people to write on wisdom, why is it like you writing an article on wisdom?
Yeah.
That's question one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this does tie in with what Richard was talking about. You know, age doesn't automatically bring wisdom.
No.
You know, only reflection brings wisdom. And I looked around and we seem to be in an age of unparalleled stupidity. I'll just read a little bit out of this thing. Mm. This is what I wrote. We're in the grip of a stupidity epidemic of unparalleled proportions. We dismiss experts and trust influencers. Politicians, media personalities and public figures make baffling career-ending decisions. Nonsensical conspiracy theories and hopeless quack remedies are amplified by social media. The Large Hadron Collider of stupidity spinning millions and millions of tiny stupid particles around the world at the speed of light.
That is such a great piece of writing.
You can tell. Sometimes you can channel your grumpy boomerness quite well. But anyway, okay, the first thing is, yes, the minute you start talking about wisdom, you think, I have no right to be even using the term.
Imposter syndrome, yeah.
But maybe that's a good thing in a way. You know, like if you are thinking that, then maybe that's okay, because it would be worse to think, well, I am completely wise and therefore I've got it all sorted. So I did subtitle the article Confessions of a Recovering Idiot, because I think that's probably more what we are the whole time. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt totally inadequate to do it, but that's never stopped me.
Nonetheless, I know I'm not alone in thinking this is a rather wonderful article. And what you did, I mean, here I am telling you what you did. I know you could do this, but you did sort of lay out these kind of seven, what would you call them? Seven kind of
seven wise things you
tips.
Can do.
Yeah,
seven things you can do, really, to be more wise. Yeah.
So do you want to talk us through those?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it the background to it was that I just don't think it's something we discuss in churches, or we downgrade. You know, I think it forms part of this bigger texture of stuff that I've been thinking about in terms of collaboration with God that we've been talking about on the podcast for a while, about human agency, human skills, the wonder of human beings with all their mixtures of wisdom and stupidity. You know, that actually we downgrade all that, and we have it in our power to be better than that. And yet we don't, all the time we want God to sort of write on the wall and tell us what to do, you know, and so we privilege revelation. We don't value wisdom. Whereas the early Christian Hebrew, certainly tradition embodied in the Bible, is about collecting wisdom, learning from it. And the whole point of wisdom is it shows you what you can do, or gives you a guide to what to do when God isn't answering your prayers.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. That's why I think it needs to be said. I didn't think it was a particularly good article. I thought, oh, maybe I got away with it.
But
people did seem to like it. Because I think the tips I put in are really trying to say, here's stuff that you can actually do that would help you get a bit more wise. You know, help you just to make a wiser choices. So, yeah, happy to take you through them if you want.
Let's go. Can I read out the quotes from the books of wisdomness as we go?
Yeah, do.
Which is an invented wisdomness of Nick book, listeners. Yes.
So the first point, I think, was find your elders, which, again, does tie in with what Richard was talking about, I think.
Yeah.
And I took a verse from Proverbs, which is Proverbs 19:20, which says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise.
Yeah, and then if I may come in with the wisdomness of Nick, which says, never turn down lunch with someone wise, especially if they're paying.
Yes. You see, now that's the thing about elders, and especially boomers, they got the money. So,
exactly.
they'll often be happy to pass on their wisdom and pay for it. But simply put, I've been very lucky, very fortunate in my life to find mentors, to find people who I can sit down and say, look, I'm having trouble with this, or I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And people who would spend time with me and who are very wise friends
I don't mind telling you, it's very costly for us.
Yes, you see, you joke, you are one of those. I mean, you're not an elder, you're actually immature, but you are one of the people who I count on for wisdom. And so it's you find those people and cherish them, find the elders, and also be prepared to be the elder.
Yeah.
If that's a role that you need to step into, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. The second point was engage in honest reflection.
Yeah.
And
Brilliant.
Proverbs says this. It says, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray.
Yes, and the wisdomness of Nick 10:10 says, squeeze the tube of your mistakes for the toothpaste of wisdom.
I did enjoy that in those.
Yes, great. What's your point?
What's my point? As I said before, I don't think age automatically brings wisdom.
No.
I think there are a great many very old, stupid people about. And I think what brings wisdom is reflection.
Yeah.
And maybe this is about also the separation thing that we're talking about. You know, the ability to look at your mistakes and go, yeah, I really got that wrong. And to reflect on your role, others' role, whatever, and to learn from your mistakes. That's wisdom. It doesn't come automatically. You have to work at it. So I don't know how you do it, you know, journaling or just talking to other people about it. But it's only reflection that does it.
I think this is such an important point. I really do. It's that quote, someone who is interviewing John Major asked about what makes a good prime minister. And he said, well, it's not someone who doesn't make mistakes. He says a good prime minister is someone who learns from mistakes,
yes.
doesn't keep
yeah.
making them. And I think that's just so true of us. You know, if you want to do life well, you know, examine your life, look at it, learn from it, reflect upon it. And I think you're so right, because I think all of us have that tendency to just want to gain more information, thinking that that's the path to wisdom.
Mm.
But actually, the path to wisdom does lie, as you so rightly say, from squeezing your mistakes for the toothpaste of wisdom. So thank you. Okay, what else?
Well, I mean, I did a little bit on the idea of collecting wisdom.
Yeah.
Again, this is a common theme of the wisdom literature in the Bible. The proverb says, the wise store up knowledge.
Yes, and the book of Nick says, but the fools stockpile toilet roll.
You know, I think, again, I'm a big, you know, collector of nuggets of wisdom and of things that strike me. I write them down, or I collect them, or clip them, put them in a file or something like that. You know, it's more, I don't care how you do it, it's up to you, but it's more sort of conscious effort. Again, it's this reflection thing. It's this thing about, oh, I really need to treasure that. Just so that was a fairly simple one. The fourth one is the one I find hard,
right,
as this podcast will demonstrate, because the fourth point is shut up and listen. And the Ecclesiastes says the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. It's great. Yeah.
Or in the wisdomness of Nick 17 verse 4, consider the lilies of the field. They don't talk a lot or post on social media. And this reminds me of that book Quiet, actually, that there's so much wisdom to be had, especially, dare I say it, and I hate saying this, but from non-extroverts, the introverts, there's so much wisdom, but you have to allow the space to listen.
Claire gave me a birthday card quite a few years ago that shows an elderly man on the cover of it, and it has the line, everyone is entitled to my opinions underneath. And I don't know if she was making a point or not, but, you know, I think I do find it hard to just be quiet and listen to other people, because I just have so many opinions on everything, and they're all right. That's the other thing. I mean, I wouldn't struggle if they were wrong, but they're all correct, as you know. But
and
actually, sitting and listening to people is incredibly rewarding and hard work as well.
And it's such a powerful thing. I mean,
yeah,
you know, perhaps we've finished the podcast by saying, go and give someone a damn good listening to.
Yeah, we talk
because
about.
It's just so powerful. It's so powerful to be truly heard, and so vital, you know, in marriages or, you know, relationships of any description, to truly listen. Yeah.
And I think, this is why Richard's email was so good to come into this, was because anybody in power doesn't listen, really. They don't listen. They you know, the art of political power is to look like you're listening. Then, but you're not actually. And the church hasn't really listened for a long time. I think it is listening now, if you talk about the Anglican Church or whatever.
Okay.
But it may be too late. But to listen makes us a bit more vulnerable and makes us appear weak. So we don't like to do it. You know, after all, the powerful ones are the ones who are on the stage who command the room. But I think you don't learn anything that way.
Oh, sure. Okay, well, look, I'm going to keep us going. What's tip number five? Five of seven.
Oh, let's five go. Is simply, five, I think, was simply use your brain. You know, just think. You know, leave your simple ways, Proverbs says, and you will live and walk in the way of insight. We have this stuff in our brain. You know, we can use it.
Yeah, the book of Nick says there is miraculous stuff going on between your ears, which I like.
We just do not value our own learning, our own common sense, our own insights, our own thoughts. We're always apologising for them. Now, in some ways, that's a nice thing. You know, it's good to say, oh, well, I may be wrong. It depends on, you know, how you're saying it. If you're saying it in the voice of someone who is always doubts themselves and who doesn't think they've got a right to speak. That's not true. But if it's about saying, admitting that there's two ways of looking at this, that's good. But you've got this miracle happening in your head all the time of your thoughts, your insights. Be thankful for it. Trust it. Share it. Use your brain. Think about things.
I wonder if we're taught not to trust that so much of the time. There's a difference between sort of humility and sort of self-loathing.
Mm.
You know, there's this sort of dominant attitude of, oh, no, well, I don't know anything, or I can't do anything, or, you know, my thoughts don't matter, which is more self-loathing. I think there is a humility that says, well, yeah, God has given me this extraordinary gift of a brain. And actually, there's a lot of real good in that. And I'm able to use that. And I hold my views with humility, not self-loathing. But there's stuff that God has given me the ability to figure out here.
Yeah. I mean, we can learn to think like Jesus. One of the points I make at the beginning of the article is that wisdom is Jesus. The personification of wisdom in the Bible and from the early Christian teaching, very strong on linking, you know, just as wisdom was there at the foundation of the world, according to Proverbs, so was Jesus. We know that. So wisdom is Jesus. So Jesus will lead us into wisdom, but we can learn to think like him. We can learn to think like Jesus. But we can already, you know, our brain is miraculous and it's worth paying attention to. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Also, I mean, I feel duty bound to say that wisdom in the sort of Old Testament scriptures was always personified as feminine.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Sure. Okay. What's number six?
Six is kind of like, I was probably running out of ideas at this point, but six is a bit like listening. It's a slow down and pay attention. And it's about patience, I think. You know, a person's wisdom yields patience, as Proverbs. And I do think there's a slowness of wisdom.
I like that you said stop and think, failing that, take a nap.
Well, that's good for you as well.
It's the same thing.
I mean, just as sort of shutting up and listening is key, paying attention is really a kind of a version of sort of listening to everything around you, listening to the world.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this, and I think you're right, yeah.
You know, and what's Simone Weil, you know, I've talked about a lot, attention is the purest form of prayer. You know, pay attention. To things. Don't just sort of sleepwalk through life. Yeah. And then the final one was, and this is where sort of there's two kinds of wisdom really in the scriptures. There's the sort of cosmic wisdom, you know, which is sort of insight into sort of cosmic stuff. And then there's this more practical, doable wisdom, as I call it.
Okay.
But the final one is embrace mystery. And because at the end of the day, you know, this is why Ecclesiastes is such a tract for our time, really.
Yeah.
You know, he says, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
Yeah. The so-called wisest person in the world is saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Known in the world. And the wisdomness of Nick says, especially TikTok.
Yeah, well, that's completely meaningless, obviously. But so there's this thing that wisdom and it will only ever take you so far.
Yeah.
And it can't lead you, you know, it can't tell you everything. There's things that you will never understand. And again, we were saying earlier about having the humility to just go, well, don't really get that. You know, what do we call it in this podcast? The theology of I don't know. You know, yeah. I think that is the wisest course of action sometimes, is just to hold your hand up to that and to be open about it. You know, wisdom is not appearing to have all the answers.
Yeah.
That's not wisdom. That's sort of showing off. You know, that's fear, really, I think, half the time of not, you know, a lot of leaders are scared to admit they don't know what the answers are. I've never had a problem with it because it's quite evident I don't know what the answers are. So, yeah. But yeah, so that, you know, all I was trying to do was to try and just get us to honour our brains a bit more and our own thoughts and the wisdom that we have and our experiences in the world and just, you know, collect them and treasure them and share them with one another.
Well, I think that's a really lovely and important thing to say for people, especially for this podcast, Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. You know, you've gone through all that work and you're wondering if you're the only one, if there's something wrong with you, if it's something you've... No, there's nothing wrong with you at all. You're a beautiful human being and you've got a brain and you've started questioning some of this perceived or received wisdom that you've had, and you're hunting for a deeper wisdom. That's all that's going on. You are fine. You're okay. Mm. And you can learn to trust some of those deeper voices that come through, I think, when you still your mind a bit and really ponder things. So thank you for writing that. I mean, I have to say, I put a link up on our Facebook page. It's a really funny thing. And as is always true of your writings, you disarm people with humour. Mm. And then I think that makes them more open to really receive the nuggets of wisdom that you've got there. So I think it was a great job, mate. I really do. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't think it was good. It's lovely. It's a great article.
I suppose you always see the flaws from the inside, don't you? And I just think, again, you know, to perhaps the thing about being wise is you never think you are truly wise. And maybe let's just stick with that. That's probably a good place to be, really. I think, again, I would emphasise that, you know, there are obviously times when God does speak to us. I think there are, clearly, and times when actually we are impelled into a course of action that sometimes seems a bit foolish by the world's standards or even by our own standards. And I've certainly had that in my life. So I'm not at all against saying, you know, that God doesn't speak to us. I'm just saying far more often in my experience, we are left to kind of collaborate with God and make our minds up and learn from each other and make the best decision we can under the circumstances. And that's where wisdom comes in. But, you know, all wisdom, as I say, the stuff in our brains and the cosmic mystery wisdom, it all comes from Jesus, I think, in the end. So, you know, that's where I'm heading, really.
And that which is deepest within us as we chew over ideas and thoughts and things, that is of God anyway. So God definitely does still speak. Anyway, bless you, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. The wisest thing to do here is to shut up, and I feel actually slightly sort of self-conscious having spent most of the episode talking about my own thoughts, but you know, where we do gain wisdom is hugely from our listeners, so thank you for writing in, particularly recently. I think you've really been on a roll. Well done.
Yeah, you have. There's been some brilliant emails. Thank you. And we're still going through them. So thank you. Please keep sending them in. We really appreciate it.
So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. That's a very wise thing to do, actually. Use of your money.
Yeah. We are very grateful.
Grateful for that. That's really helpful. And we will be back with you next week. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but then that's normally the case at the beginning of the show as well. So there we go.
I'm going to go and give someone a damn good listening to, and I hope you will too.